Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I apologize. I had some technical difficulties over the last hour or so that delayed the podcast a little bit, and it's going to reduce the number of articles that we're going to discuss this week because we're just going to be shorter in time a little bit because my co-host, Seth Winchell, how are you, Seth?
I'm good.
Great. Seth has to go on the dot before 5, so we're going to keep this short and sweet. And before we get into it, because there's still some very great news to talk about this week, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor.
Yes. Today, our podcast is sponsored by EVHooks.com, or it's EV Items, formerly known as EVHooks.com. The company makes a ton of cool aftermarket accessories for the Model 3, Model S, and Model X. Based in the U.S., EV Items is run by a former Tesla employee and still sells those popular Tesla Model S coat hooks that it launched as its first accessory back when it was EV Hooks. Easily confused. Solution. Electric readers can get an exclusive 20% off the company's vegan center console storage cubby for the Model 3 and a bunch of other Tesla accessories for a limited time. You'll also get free shipping in North America on orders over $50 and a free Starman or Elon Musk air freshener, which everybody needs, with every order. A few other notables from the sale include the company's high-quality tempered glass screen protector for Model 3. And there's also a Qi wireless phone charger, which everybody loves, that slides into the center console in the Model S or Model X, not just the Model 3, so you can wirelessly charge your iPhone or other device that supports it. A big thanks again to EVItems.com. For sponsoring this week's episode, head over to evitems.com or the show notes and use the code ELECTREC for 20% off any order. So that's a pretty good deal.
20% off and a free freshener. Yeah. I need to say that again, I think. Kind of want one now.
You gotta Spaceman have your air freshener.
Yeah, there's a... Especially the Spaceman, who, if you guys don't know, of course, is traveling around space on a Roadster right now. And I have an original Roadster in front of their house right now, so that's exciting too. First, this week, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Tesla pickup truck, which is always, I think it's the most anticipated future vehicle in Tesla's product lineup, even more than the Roadster, probably.
I'm going to disagree with you on that, but...
It has a wider appeal than the Roadster. A pickup truck has a wider appeal. So,
I mean, because of the price, but I don't think if you're giving away a Roadster or a pickup, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say. For me personally, it'd be the Roadster, but other people may enjoy a pickup truck.
Speaking because of the price, you said, and we have a better idea of the price this week on the Ride the Lightning podcast. Elon Musk had an interview last weekend, and. He did disclose what they are aiming to be for the what they're aiming for the base price of the vehicle. So it's not going to be the average price of the vehicle. And I want to put a big asterisk on this because historically Tesla's base price vehicles haven't been really respected that much. We can go back to the Roadster, really the original Roadster, which ended up costing more than they expected. Then the base price of the Model S was famously going to be $50,000. They kept that promise only for a few weeks, if maybe a few months at max.
Seth got
one of them, but
and that was after the 7500, though.
That was after the 7500.
The federal tax credit.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was actually 57.5 or whatever.
Yeah. Then the Model 3 was promised as $35,000. They did also keep that promise to a certain degree, but we all know now that. Tesla is very much pushing for the more expensive version at almost $40,000 now. So $50,000, less than $50,000 is what Elon said he's aiming for the electric pickup truck, which was quite surprising to me, really, because, it would be extremely competitive with some of the most popular pickup trucks, which also happens to be the most popular passenger vehicles in the U.S. We're talking about the F-150, for example. And it would be competitive before, unless he's talking about the prices after gas savings, but I think it would be unfair for him to do that if he wasn't mentioning it, and he didn't. So I would assume that's the sticker price. Also, before incentive, we have to assume, because by the time that truck comes, Tesla won't have any, at least federal incentive in the U.S. So it's a straight-up drive-away before-tax price of $50,000 or less for the base version. That would be very impressive. Of course, that's for the base version of the car. And Tesla and Elon has been hyping some very big spec for the truck, including like 300,000 pound towing capacity, which I don't think is really possible, but maybe of over 400 miles of range, which again with a towing with some cargo capacity should go down, but who knows. Between 400 and 500 miles of range, actually, so up to 500 miles of range. That's pretty insane. So those spec you should expect in a higher price version of the car than $50,000. But even then, you look, of course, a lot of people is going to want to compare this to the Rivian electric pickup truck, the R1T, which is supposed to start at $69,000. And I think that's before incentive too. And the Rivian, of course, is going to have access to that $7,500 federal tax credit. That's for the base version of the R1T, which, again, you have, like, I think a 380 miles version of the car. So it's going to be, like, maybe not similar. We don't know the full lineup of Tesla pickup truck yet, but it should be also have a wide range of option. And that 69,000 version start at 230 miles of range or more. The way they advertise it, or more. So maybe they haven't finalized the energy capacity of the pack yet. For a commercial use pickup truck, it might not be enough, especially if you start using it for cargo and towing, but still an attractive price. If Tesla can come with something like that, with a 200 plus miles range base one at less than $50,000, now it becomes attractive in many different applications, I think. Elon also mentioned a few other things about the performance of the truck. A very ambitious standard that he's going for, with saying that the goal is to be a better truck than the Ford F-150 in terms of truck-like functionality, and be a better sports car than a standard Porsche 911. That's the aspiration, he said.
Better sports car than a 911?
In a truck, pickup truck form factor.
I believe that he's referring to the 0 to 60 speed, not the Nuremberg lap speed.
I mean, that thing's going to be twice as heavy as a 911, so I would expect so. It wouldn't be in on the Nuremberg racetrack. But he did really say a better sports car than a 911, so it's not... You cannot claim to be a better sports car than another car just because you have a faster acceleration from 0 to 60. So I would assume it's more than that. But of course, the pickup truck is going to have some pretty good handling if it's... I think it's going to be low. I think it's going to be a relatively low pickup truck, because Tesla's going to go for high aerodynamic performance. So it could be lift up higher with a good travel suspension in terms of a dynamic air suspension. They could go for a very high travel, which of course we know is not really the case, even for like the Model S and X, who have... they are equipped with air suspension that you can change. What's the travel you think on those? Like, what kind of difference setting? It's not more than 2 inches, maybe, that you can make it higher, right?
It's barely noticeable. I mean, you have to like squint at it, and you almost don't feel it inside. So yeah. I imagine it'll be much bigger than that.
Yeah. So if they can do something bigger than that, then they can make it a lot lower. And then you add to that the fact that it's going to have a skateboard-like platform for the battery pack, which we're going to reduce the bring down the center of gravity a lot, going to improve performance immensely.
I wonder if it'll jump around though, like those gangster cars. Like, I wonder if it'll, I mean, seriously, like, it sounds like it is going to have that capability,
like a hydraulic suspension. It'll,
what's that,
a hydraulic suspension, like a powerful hydraulic suspension?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you want like something dynamic, Tesla is working for the autopilot to detect potholes and things like that. So if they can shift the weight from back to front when they hit, instead of moving around from the pothole, they just basically slightly jump over it or something. That'd be awesome. He mentioned also the design again of the truck. Not that we still have a better idea from what he was saying before. Of course, he was like saying the Blade Runner thing type of design, the futuristic type of design. He's still on that. He said he's going to look pretty sci-fi. That's a quote. He did say that he expect that when they do release it, a lot of people will, and I think that's important, a lot of people will say that that's not a pickup truck. That's not, that doesn't look like a pickup truck, which I think is a good hint at what it will look like in terms of like the futuristic design. So don't expect anything close to what you've been seeing for the past, like, I mean, pickup trucks for the past 15 years, maybe they look very similar. Like in the past, there was, they would, the design evolve. But in the past two decades, it's been very, very similar.
Yeah, and he sent out that teaser, and everybody assumed that was the rear end of the truck. But then he mentioned that that teaser was actually the front end of the truck, which had, you know, you would assume a very flat hood. I mean, is that what we're expecting?
Yeah, it's very hard to tell. I mean, they did try to darken the left side of it, so it might go up more than that. It's just the way that they released the teaser to hide what it was, really. They might have darkened the part where it raised up a little bit more. But yeah, it looks extremely square. There's no doubt about that. Makes like a long square hood, which doesn't make much sense unless they want like a giant cargo space in front, like a giant frunk for the pickup truck. Frunk trunk.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
A front tailgate, maybe, even so, like a front bed, really. Yep. Maybe a two bed truck, bed in front, bed in the back, no cabin, completely at the middle. There's just a flat two side bed.
You don't need that because it's just driving itself,
yeah, and not carrying any passenger either. Of course, we're kidding. But, yeah, I'd like to see people, like, all the things that people did with the renderings when the teasers first came out. I'd like all those people to go back to the drawing boards now that we know for sure that it's a front end of the truck and try to reimagine, like, what it is. If you guys do that, send it to us, and we're going to feature it on Electric. What people are trying to understand from that new information. But yeah, got a lot of good info about the pickup truck, just hyping it again. And of course, we should get all our answers later this year. Elon said that they were aiming to release the prototype later this year. So very excited about that. Moving on, let's get a quick word about the sales number in Q2. It's been the focus of Tesla investors and Tesla shorts for the past few months. Tesla shorts have been pushing a narrative that Tesla's big demand issues that emerged first in the first quarter, which is why the sales were down, they claim, and now it is extending into the second quarters. In the past few weeks, we published emails that Elon sent to employees about that was sort of dispelling that a little bit, saying that they had close to 50,000 net orders in the quarter so far. Building on that information, we had another report that I posted yesterday or the day before that, based on a call that Tesla executive had with the sales manager and delivery managers across North America to sort of discuss the state of sales and deliveries in North America and what they are pushing for the end of the quarter. And really good news, really. They said that they were at 33,000 orders so far. 33,000 deliveries in North America alone, which is extremely high, especially when you consider that Tesla always has more delivery at the very end of the quarters, which is not ideal, of course, but it's the way Tesla is doing things right now. And speaking about that end of quarter push, in June alone, Tesla is trying to deliver 33,000 cars in North America. So close to 66,000 total, because they already had delivered a few in June. Speaking of those few, it's 2,500 cars that had already been delivered when we wrote that other call that was Wednesday night. On top of the 2,500 that were already delivered, 10,000 more were scheduled to be delivered, and 6,000 were orders that Tesla already received, and they are matched to VIN numbers that are when you have a VIN number, it is that like you schedule for production, you are in production, or you just finished production, and they haven't scheduled a delivery yet, but it's going to the end user, whether to a Tesla delivery center or directly to the customers. So that's over 18,000 vehicles already underway to some degree to the customers, on top of the 33,000 already delivered. So not easy to complete. It's not a done deal. The 33,000 is not, it's achievable, but it's not a done deal, but it's definitely achievable, especially based on my knowledge of just how hardcore Tesla employees are at the end of the quarter. Sometimes they push like crazy. They work nonstop. And now they have an incentive to doing too, because of course we reported earlier this year when there was the whole debacle about sales going online and employees being fired from Tesla closing the stores and everything, and they backtrack it a little bit. And once they backtrack that strategy, the result of the whole thing was basically cutting commissions on all salespeople, which affected the compensation of many people at Tesla. They changed the whole system from a compensation for every cell or for a number of cells to all employees getting the same compensation. So all or at some point it was all the stores. Now it's going to be all the employees, apparently. So across a entire region, in this case, North America. So if Tesla's North American sales team and delivery team delivered those 33,000 vehicles in June, all the sales staff is going to get a $1,200 bonus. And all the delivery staff, which is the first, Tesla generally didn't offer bonus to the delivery staff, which I think was a mistake because the delivery has been a bottleneck for a while. So if you want to encourage employees, delivery employees, to deliver those cars in time, and you need to deliver to recognize the revenue, so the sales wasn't that big of a deal. Well, it was definitely big of a deal too, but delivery was just as important. And now they're getting a $550 bonus if they do those 33,000 deliveries in time. And they can double that if they deliver, instead of 33,000, they deliver 36,000, so 3,000 more, which I think is probably what's going to do a difference between Tesla beating its last record of the fourth quarter 2018 or not. So they're really pushing for that, because that would be the headlines would be Tesla delivered a new record quarter. But either way, even if that happens or not, which I'm not sure it's going to happen again, it really dispels any domain issue, at least in North America.
Right. I think that's the big takeaway from all of this, is that this demand issue that the shorts have been pushing for the whole quarter and pushing hard is really just kind of fake. It sounds like Tesla can't make enough cars to meet demand, or more aptly put, doesn't have the sales or delivery staff to deliver all the orders that are made, which is like kind of an own goal on Tesla and Elon Musk, because they got rid of a bunch of stores and people last quarter, but that was during a cash crunch, which they probably should have anticipated, but doesn't sound like they did, which kind of put them in a bad place, which kind of put them where we are today. If they were able to anticipate the cash crunch of sending all these cars to Europe, of the demand, basically everybody that was going to buy a car in the first quarter of this year in the U.S., bought it right before the end of the year last year because of the bigger incentive. So there was going to be a demand slowdown in the U.S., already. Like, we knew that. Everybody knew that. But, Tesla thought they were going to make up for it by sending cars to Europe and China, but that those cost a lot more. So
And those were slow. The delivery process was slower than anticipated, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're still catching up there. So, like, all of these things kind of transpired. Tesla didn't respond to these things, you know, in what you would call a responsible way. So now they are in the position where people don't think that people think that there's a demand issue. When, you know, the cars, by and large, I mean, they're not the most reliable. I don't want to say not reliable, because they are reliable, but there's like a fit and finish issue that still remains a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the cars are like super fun to drive. They perform fantastically. They get all the range that everybody expects. Everything's great with the cars for the most part. And certainly people are now seeing them. Like, you know, if you're in Ohio, likely you're not seeing one in a mall, but maybe, you know, our colleague Trevor showed you one, or you've driven around with one, with him in one, and you're like, hey, I'm going to buy a car, and this is exactly what I want. So a lot more Tesla Model 3s out on the road means a lot more opportunity, especially outside of major cities, to actually sell them. So I think the demand problem has been overstated. I think there's a lot more demand out there, and will be more demand than the current narrative suggests.
Yeah, and people, like, you're right that Tesla gave them an opportunity to think that there was a demand issue with the way things played out in the first quarter. But I think also people want to think that there's a demand problem. There's a lot of people that, of course, are incentivized to see the bad in Tesla. So, I mean, even those numbers that I posted earlier this week, I've seen Short twist them around in every way possible to make them look bad. And I went on CNBC yesterday to talk about the report real quick. And I highlighted how great those numbers are, because, like, that's over 50,000 net orders that Tesla received in North America alone in the second quarter of the year. There's no other automaker selling electric cars at that pace. There's no other automaker selling cars at one-tenth of that pace. So, I mean, where's the competition, really? Tesla is in a league of its own in terms of selling electric cars, really, at least in North America right now. And as soon as I said that, the anchors, of course, turned to the pundits, investor that they have there, and they ask, so do you really think that dispels the demand issue? And she starts laughing, of course not. And then she goes on to explain it without providing any type of facts or information of value other than her own opinion. But I think that people that are looking at this closely, and people that have driven one and have seen the reaction of anyone driving one, it's clear that those vehicles are in high demand and will continue to be, because everyone that tried one of my Teslas, they can stop talking about it, and they want their own if they can afford it. And if they can't afford it, they start looking at ways that they can change their lifestyle to afford it. I mean, one of the Matt Obedia, one of the great listener of the podcast and follower of Electrek, told me at one point that he decided to move out of a city and go in a region that's less expensive, just so that he could change its budget to be able to afford a Model 3, which is just to show you the extent of Tesla fans will go through to be able
that's
to.
That's good dedication.
Yeah, to be able to drive that car on a daily basis. It's awesome. And I'm pretty sure it's not, like, I was surprised when I heard that, but pretty sure he's not alone in that position. I think other people are maybe not going as far as moving away, but they are going to see what changes they can make to their budget in order to be able to afford that car. And now that Tesla has a lease program too, that changes the deal too, because what is it? Is it $400 now per month, that the starting price for a standard range plus? So it's not bad. All right, let's move on to one of those competitors that are supposed to come out with electric cars and crush Tesla. Toyota. Two things that happened with Toyota this week. First off, they started out with announcing a new partnership with Subaru. Subaru, which is, by the way, partly owned by Toyota. They are increasingly have collaboration since they acquired at least part of the shares of the Japanese automaker. And neither of those have an all-electric option yet. They have a few hybrids, a few plug-in hybrids, no all-electric vehicle. But they partnered together to build a new electric platform that will produce all electric SUVs, midsize and full size SUVs, all electric versions. Not much is known about them. No clear timeline on when that will be released, but they are partnering up, joining forces with their engineers to develop a brand new platform that will be able to release all electric SUVs. So I wouldn't expect that until at least like 3 years out, but and both of those automakers are also planning other electric vehicles before that. They are both talking about 2021 right now. So it's the next generation of all electric cars that are coming from them. They're going to be on the same platform, but each brand going to have their own under their own brand. So look out for that. Then what happened last night is that Toyota held a media briefing that you can, we posted on Electric. You can see the media briefing with, was it the executive president that did it? Yeah, executive vice president, Shigeaki Terashi, I think. That's how you pronounce that. He held a presentation called Aiming to Popularize BEVs, which coming from Toyota might sound weird because they've never been a proponent of BEVs. They like hybrids, and they like fuel cells, and they are the belief that those are the futures of the automotive industry. But somehow, they're still planning to do BEVs because, well, I think the real reason is the regulation that are pushing them to do them, but they still see some value in them, and that's why they held that presentation popularizing them.
In China and Europe.
They are talking about reducing the cost of batteries, and they are working with China's CATL and BYD, so two biggest battery manufacturers in China. BYD also, of course, produces their own vehicles, their own electric vehicles, but they are not partnering with them to come out with those new BEVs, which leads me to believe that the focus of their electric vehicles from Toyota is going to be for the Chinese market, which is, it's fair. It's plenty of other makers do it because they have more aggressive regulation. But at the same time, they did talk about the global release of BEVs. So that's...
All right. Well, I guess we were talking about Toyotas and... Fred's article this week was about how Toyota is bringing back their BEV platform, and mostly probably at the behest of China and Europe, which are requiring automakers to do EVs. Toyota is no stranger to the EV space because, as a lot of people may remember, they had the BEV RAV4 with the Tesla powertrain and batteries, which I think left them with a bit of a bad taste in their mouth. After that, they kind of, well, they certainly had the Prius, and the Prius was quite popular, still is quite popular. They have the Prius Prime out right now, which gets about 25 miles of electric range before it goes hybrid. But we reviewed that actually, and I personally thought that the fact that the engine would come on if you need to defrost or going up a big hill or whatever was quite frustrating. So I don't consider that the Prius Prime an electric vehicle. So Toyota, today came out with a big press release and a bunch of concept-looking cars that will never see a road. And the what we were talking about previously is that Tesla is probably, Toyota is probably doing this move of moving ahead of time before, or for the sole reason of pleasing the European and Chinese markets, which are demanding electric vehicles. And specifically, it's not just the markets, it's mostly that the governments are demanding these EVs. So, I don't know where that puts a real vehicle on a Toyota lot. I don't know if we're indeed going to see those 5 years faster. Toyota also has an agreement with Subaru that was announced this week. And they also build the Subaru's one plug-in hybrid powertrain currently. Toyota also has an agreement with Mazda, and Mazda has zero battery electric vehicles. So I don't know that Toyota is off the map entirely. In fact, I think they can be quite a robust electric vehicle manufacturer. In fact, they kind of have to be if they want to be vital in the next, you know, decade. But I don't know that today's announcement is a action or a reaction. And I would tend to think that it's a reaction, especially with the devices they put forward. So seeing as that Fred is offline again, I think we'll end the podcast there. Thank you everybody for joining us. You can always hit up the podcast at the various links provided. We are youtube.com/electreco, and you can also find us on patreon.com/electrec. We'll see you next week, same place, same time. Thank you.